And I've been born again to win. I thank God He justified me. Of His fullness have we all received of Him. I'm a new creation, I'm a brand new man. Oh, old things are passed away, I've been born again. Oh, again, more than a conqueror. Yes, Lord, that's what I am. I'm a new creation, I'm a brand new man. Amen, with all your heart. Hallelujah, He redeemed me. Is that your testimony? And I've been born again to win. And I thank God He justified me. Of His fullness have we all received of Him. I'm a new creation, I'm a brand new man. Old things are passed away, I've been born again. Oh, again, more than a conqueror, that's what I am. I'm a new creation, I'm a brand new man. Let's go ahead and stand. Oh, yes, hallelujah, He redeemed me. Think about it, born again to win. And I've been born again to win. I thank God He justified me. Of His fullness have we all received of Him. I'm a new creation, I'm a brand new man. Old things are passed away, I've been born again. More than a conqueror, that's what I am. I'm a new creation, I've been born again. Old things are passed away, I've been born again. More than a girl, that's what. Amen. Praise the Lord. More than a conqueror, by His grace. Amen.
Good morning. God bless everybody. Blessing to be with you. Guidance. We know that there's an enemy that tries to destroy us every turn we make. But there's a Savior that will deliver us from every problem we face. So just let our trust be in Him always and guide us. Amen. We're going to read this morning from Psalm 107, verses 1 through 21. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we are very grateful and thankful to have a Savior that will deliver us and guide us continually through our life. Lord, let us have the confidence and peace in our hearts. Lord, let us have the strength to yield ourselves unto You. God, we ask You to bless everyone in the congregation. Lord, touch them. Lord, deliver them from any problem and every problem that they may face. God, we ask You to, for we know that You are the Master, that You are the Deliverer, You are the Savior, You are the Healer. And let us believe and accept those things. We ask You to remember those in the Sunday school classes, Father, and touch them. God, that as they grow, that You will give them strength to walk before and follow after Your holy word. We ask You to touch Brother Dale, Father. Touch his body, his spirit, Lord. that which you have given him, Lord, that we will yield ourselves and receive it. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. Psalm 107. Give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever.
Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he has redeemed from the hand of the enemy.
And gather them out of the land from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south.
They wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way. They found no city to dwell in.
Hungry and thirsty, their souls fainted in them.
Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distresses.
And he led them forth by the right way, that they might go to a city of habitation.
Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness, and for his wonderful works to the children of men.
For he satisfied the longing soul and filleth the hungry soul with goodness.
Such as sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, being bound in affliction and iron.
Because they rebel against the words of God and contended the counsel of the Most High.
Therefore he brought down their heart with labor. They fell down, and there was none to help.
Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses.
He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death, and brake their bands asunder.
Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men.
For he has broken the gates of brass and cut the bars of iron asunder.
Fools, because of their transgressions and because of their iniquities, are afflicted.
Their soul abhorreth all manner of meat, and they draw near unto the gates of death.
Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses.
He sent his word and healed them, and delivered them from their destructions.
Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. God bless you. Be seated.
Amen. It said he sent his word. Amen. Brother, we're going to leave that down for 1 minute. Yeah. Amen. We're going to try this one song, We Fall Down. Brothers, if you can project that on the screen. It's a very easy song. We'll try that. Appreciate our musicians. And we got the substitute song leader. So we're going to do the best we can by the glory of the Lord. Amen. Says, we fall down, we lay our crowns at the feet of Jesus, the greatness of mercy and love at the feet of Jesus, and we cry, holy, 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 and we cry, holy, 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 and we cry, holy, 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 to the Lamb. We fall down. We fall down, we lay our crowns at the feet of Jesus, the greatness of mercy and love at the feet of Jesus, and we cry, holy, holy, holy. We cry, holy, 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 and we cry. cry, holy, holy, holy is the Lamb. Amen. Praise the Lord. We're going to keep working on that one. Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. Let's go ahead and stand. We're going to sing Victory in Jesus as we get ready for the word. Praise the Lord. Are you hungry this morning?
Amen.
Amen. That's number 22. Victory in Jesus. Amen. We're just going to sing the first verse in the chorus. Amen. Thank God we're part of that story. I heard an old, old story, how a Savior came from glory, how he gave his life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I heard about his groaning, of his precious blood's atoning. Then I repented of my sins and won the victory. Oh, oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and he bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. Oh, victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and he bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand clap. Praise the Lord. Amen. You know, as Brother Dale brought out, if we weren't seeking him, he sought us.
Amen.
Praise the Lord Jesus. Thank the Lord. He sought us out. Amen. And found us. Praise the Lord Jesus. Amen. Let's sing Open the Eyes of My Heart as we get our heart ready for the word of God this morning. I'm excited to see what he has in store. He is the answer to every question we have, every fear, every concern, anything we go through. He is that answer. Amen. And he sent his word to heal us. So I'm looking for healing this morning. Praise the Lord Jesus. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. See you high and lifted up, Lord, shining in the light of your glory.
Amen.
Pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, holy, holy. High and lifted up, Lord, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, holy, holy. Holy, 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 Lord, you are.
Holy,
oh Lord,
I want to see you.
Amen and amen and amen. And I want to see him, don't you? Amen. Good to see everybody in the house of the Lord. If you'd like to turn in your scriptures, we'll read this. Well, let's just do it a little different. Let's get the announcements out of the way because Brother Bob's got a little announcement to be made. And then we'll get back into the... But remember to pray for Wade and June. Brother Wade's up in Kentucky preaching this weekend. So remember that. And then Brother Luis, he's over at Brother Burley's preaching for him today. And Brother Luis will be here, the Lord willing, ministering this coming Wednesday. So remember each one of these announcements. Brother Tony, Sister Esther, going on a vacation time to Alaska. So remember them and their tours and things that they do. So you can go ahead and be seated for a minute and let Brother Bob cover a little something that they're planning on doing, okay?
God bless you, saints. Yeah, I don't think this will take too long, but wanted to kind of announce, it's been on a lot of our hearts lately to kind of do something for the young people and kind of get a little something started and maybe have a little bit more targeted Bible study for them to kind of, you know, focus directly on some of their needs and different things. So what we're planning to do is the Bible study Sunday or Saturday is to kind of get the young people together and have a little Bible study with them and have some little activities and different kind of things that we're still trying to work out. Everything's going to come together, but we want to have the young people get together on the Bible study Saturday at 3:30 in the afternoon to be there, and we'll have, you know, food and drinks and different kind of things like that. And we're just planning to have a good time in the Lord and talk directly to the young people and just have a good little time of fellowship and fun like that. So thank Brother Wade and Brother Dale for, you know, backing us up with this and making it available for us to be able to do something like this. And just Lord willing, this will be just something that will really benefit and bless all of the young people and even the adults. So, we plan to send out more details through email, so you kind of have that in your email inbox. And also it'll be on the screens downstairs. So we'll make sure we do everything we can to make sure everybody has all the information that they need to be where they need to be at what time and that kind of thing. So there you go.
Let's go ahead and stand. See, what we're just trying to get into something, and then we'll have to work it out as we go. But trying to get something for the children, the young people and things. And if you call what he's doing, it'll be like we start at 6 o'clock, you know, on our Bible study on that Saturday. We'll start like 3:30, and this is going to be a movable time because we're going to see how it works starting at 3:30, and then start and let the kids have their time and all like that. Then the adults can come in and be ready by 6 o'clock. And that way the kids can just go through their doings and the times and Bible studies and things on up to that 6 o'clock. And then we'll just flow right on into the Bible study, you know, and get all of that together as one as we finish it up. And that way it'll be, it'd be beneficial to everybody. Somebody will be handling each thing and taking care of it. They got to get all that set so they can make it all to... But it'll start this coming Saturday, be the next Saturday, right, because we got one extra one in there this time. All right, so it'll be like the 7th or 8th, it'll just kind of start, and that's what I said, we're going to try to get it set up and then get it to working, and then we will invite other churches to allow their youth to come if they want to, you know, and participate. But it'll be just left up to time and what we're doing and how it's to get done. But the brothers, they'll do that. I'm just talking a little bit while the rest of them's coming in and getting everybody up. Okay. Somebody didn't holler. But I'm on now. Okay. Everybody ought to be cleared now. So we'll get that, you know, and we'll start that. and the children, it'll be like age groups set aside to where that, you know, they can work within their age group. God will have something for the little ones and then something for the next and something for the next or something. Ever how it works out, we'll get it all worked out and it'll work out for the glory of the Lord, okay? And we'll get these things underway. Okay, if you'd like to turn in your scriptures, turn to Romans 5. And then we'll go to Ephesians 4. Romans 5, Ephesians 4. Remember all of these that are sick among us. Pray the Lord would bless each one. Because that's something that we can all do together, is get a burden on our heart for the sick among us. All right. Now, as I've always said, it's not trying to call down fire. No, we don't believe in doing that. But there's one thing about it. Tomorrow may be your day in the barrel, okay? You know what is meant by that? It may be you'll be sick next. Who else will be sick next? So we all bind together to pray one for the other, you know. And I like what Brother John Martin said one time. He said, why do we have to wait until we get sick? He said, why can't we pray for not to get sick? Well, that's a good point, you know. Why can't we do that? Just pray to not get sick. And I'll take care of it, okay? Right. Father, we thank you for this day and your grace and your love. We thank you for the opportunity to be able to stand and talk about you. Because what a day, what a time we have. That Lord, that you would reveal yourself unto an unworthy group of people that has no thoughts of being worthy of any form or any part to do in it, but to know that you have chosen us and, Lord, that you're leading us into thy love. Guide each one. Remember the sick among us and touch each one of them. Father, remember those that are away. Wade, Brother Luis, ministering today. You just be with them as they minister. And may we all be together in loving you. We love you and we thank you. Guide us now in Jesus' name. Amen. Brother Matthew Bray will be here with us, the Lord willing. I guess what it'll be, the 8th. In other words, not this coming Saturday or something. But the time of it'll be the 8th or the 9th, every which works out. You know, not this coming weekend, but the next, okay? All right, Brother Matthew Bray will be with us, the Lord willing. So let's go on into our scripture, right? It says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Now remember this, what we're bringing, that by whom also we have access by faith. All right? By faith. Okay? Now let's go over to Ephesians. We'll go to 4. It says, there is one body and one spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. You may be seated. The Lord add his blessing to the reading of the word. Now our thought for today will be basically based upon faith, because without faith it's impossible to please God. And we will be going into getting more into the stature of a perfect man from this, as to giving us understanding of what to do. But now I want you to think about one thing. I've got a bunch run off, some here, and I had a bunch more, where the prophet talks about that there's just one faith. All right? Now he says there's not many faiths. He says there's one faith. He said, now, you can have a faith, and they can be many. You know, you can have a faith, you can have churches, you can have denominations, you can have all kind of things, and it can be many things. But he says there's just one, the faith. See, thee is singular. So when we get into the scriptures there, in Hebrew it says, now faith is the substance. It's not a substance. It is the substance. All right? Now, I remember this in the Baptist because I remember saying something to one time when we, and this man was talking to me about how that, you know, that we was Baptists because of John. Said, we're Baptists because we follow John, the Baptist. And said, well, I said, well, you just messed up. He said, what? I said, you just finalized it to saying one thing. John the Baptist. So there's never been but one, and there never will be but one. Right? You get what I'm talking about? There's just John the Baptist. There's not a whole bunch of John the Baptists running around. And I said, so then you're trying to make a church out of something that there's just one of it. It's John the Baptist. I had that much understanding, see, back then to be able to at least read and see what words meant. You can have a Baptist, you can have a faith, and all like that, but there's only one faith because there's one Lord. Right? Now remember, one faith, one Lord, one baptism. All right? So now we have just one baptism, right? In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Right? All right? See, then we have only one Lord. So there's not many Lords. Or it's not a Lord. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. All right? So we have only one Lord, one faith, one baptism. But then we would only have one revelation. Right? Because faith is a revelation of the Word of God. All right? And faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things that you don't see. See? Now, but follow my point, then we'll drop into the message of getting to what I want you to see. Follow what I'm saying. John the Baptist. That means there's just one. All right? So then the faith would fit with what Paul is saying in Hebrews, that faith is the substance. He didn't say faith is a substance. Faith is the substance. All right? Now, the prophets, you know you've been through it. You studied the message. You've been in it long enough to know, most of you, that he says it's not a faith. It's the faith that was once delivered to the saints. He said, now that's what we're contending for. Not a faith, not a church, not a doctrine or an idea. See? It's the singular, because that's what the substance is. Now, substance, according to Webster, is what anything consists of. Right? Faith is what anything consists of. You say, no, this isn't. Well, see, we could go on and keep reading in the Bible where they talk about, by faith we know that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, that it was made from things that do not appear. All right? So then the Word would be the singular point of dealing with it and getting it to stay now on faith being the substance. All right? That's why Brother Brown says you can't be saved without having faith. Right? You can't be saved without having a revelation, because that's what faith is. Faith is a revelation of the Word of God. All right? And a revelation, now a revelation, you can walk on a revelation. Right? But you can't walk just on mental concepts. Right? See, the faith is singular, and that's the substance of what anything consists of. Brother Moat had a good way of stating it, because this was his way. He said, faith is what anything consists of, whether it be natural or spiritual. Are you following that now? Everything natural is a substance, correct? Trees, cars, fish, lights, food, whatever, people, whatever. It's a substance. All right? It's the substance. It's what anything consists of. All right? Then, as I said, in the going on and reading there in Hebrews, you'll find the worlds were framed by the Word of God. Amen. Where from? What from? From things that do not appear. It was the Word of God. The Word of God created the world. All right? So the substance of this world is the Word of God. The substance of your faith is that sure. Now there's the point for today. Remember it. If we can believe that wood, whatever, metal, thing, that God created that from something that was not there. He didn't take this and put it together with this and bring it down to this and make metal. And then he took this and put it with that and come down, made a tree. No. Mm-mm. He just spoke it. He spoke it. When he spoke it, it come into being because it was the substance. Now, is your faith that real? Is your faith, your revelation, is your new birth that real? Now, we've been on a new birth, right? Trying to bring it and get into it, just laying down and getting ready to go into more into the faith, virtue, knowledge, temperance. All right? But is your faith a substance? Or is it a mental concept? Now, remember, if it's a mental concept, somebody, Brother Woodby had a good point of saying, he said, you can get him in with hot dogs, and you can get him out with a hamburger. Now, you understand what that means? If you get somebody in by this some little doctrine, a little idea, somebody come along with a little bit bigger idea or doctrine or something and take you out. Right? See? But if it's a substance, now I'm just trying to get a point to you. It's one faith, one Lord, one baptism. I mean, is there any way to convince you that water baptism in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ is incorrect? If there is, then you don't have a faith on that. You don't have that as a substance. If it can be taken away, you don't have it. It's a mental concept. It's not a substance. Remember, substance is what anything consists of. All right? Now, could you take away the point of being one Lord? How many gods are there? How many things? That's why I've always just been against these people with the way they bring. They've always got to have this and two-ness and that and that. And I've always just been, I'm sorry. I've just been that way that I'm just, it's the way I think. If you got two lords, you got two gods. That's as sensible as I can make it. Right? If you got two lords, you got two gods. You got two souls, you got two gods. So, gods. Because see, that's what you're dependent on. You don't have the substance to walk on it. You have a mental concept, but not a confession, right? But not a possession. Okay? So now faith. Hebrews 11:1 says, faith is the substance of things hoped for. Whatever you're hoping for. Now we can go into what the prophet says. What now? He says, if I'm hungry and needing some bread, he said, what, in other words, is the difference in me having the quarter, which I wouldn't work today, you know, but a couple of dollars now, but all right. But what would be the difference in having the quarter, he says, than having the bread? Well, I don't have the bread. See, that's your faith is not anchored. Your faith is not sure. You have a faith. You don't have the faith. He said, if it is, he said, I've got the quarter. He said, I've got the purchasing power. He said, then I have the substance. And he goes on to explain that the substance of anything there is an evidence, because that's what the scripture says. Substance, things hoped for, things not seen, it's the evidence. All right? Now, is your substance, is your new birth an evidence? Is it a substance? Yeah. Is it something real? Not something that somebody can talk you out of. That's what Brother Al, he used to say it, and he'd say, why don't you go up there and let Brother Dale talk you out of the fact that you're healed? Well, see, I wouldn't talk you out of it, but I'd just talk with you a little bit and find out you ain't got it. See? Because if you have the substance, you have the healing. It don't matter when it comes. Oh, yeah, they want to operate on my shoulder. And if nothing don't happen by the first year, I'll probably let them because it sure hurts me. But the thing of it is, I'm already healed. I don't care about the point of what I got to do. That's where you get all tied up with them little things that you get your idea of thing. What's it matter whether you let the doctor take something out or you let God take it out? That's where we don't see faith. Yeah, but if you had faith, you wouldn't have an operation. Well, if you had faith, you wouldn't eat. Oh, but now, Brother Dale. Okay, is it right? I mean, you want to argue that point? But listen, see, saying by his stripes I'm healed. And most of you know, and I got something I got to testify. I'm glad I've got to this where I remember. Okay, most of you know, my wife and them especially, the family knows, that back last year and throughout last year and quite a while, I've had trouble with both knees. And my wife tried to get me to have them operated on and everything else. Well, they still bother me a little bit, but see, the big pain has gone away. So I thank God. But I just keep confessing it. I can get up now. I can walk. You just keep confessing it till it comes to pass. Well, my shoulder. All right. I'm going to confess it's healed. Okay. But still, I walked right in there that day. And not, hey, Doc, whack it and do whatever you got to do and fix the thing. Right? Because I believe in the doctor as well as I believe that God has given us the doctors for our thing. Why would Brother Branham tell a man when he walked up, and he remember the story, and this man said, he said something about his stomach. He said, now, brother, he says, now there's an old doctor down here. Said, you need to go down there to him. Now, have you ever heard this story told? This is actually, I can find it in the message. He said, you need to go down there to that doctor. And said, he specializes in that kind of operation. Well, there was a prophet sending a man to the... Have you ever heard this quote? You don't have a right to go before God. Wait a minute. Let me make sure I get the statement right. You don't have a right to go before God for your healing until you've been to the doctor first. Now, it's something close to that. I ain't never preached that you got to go to the doctor. Don't get that idea now, because that ain't what he's talking about. That ain't what Brother Branham's talking about. He's meaning plain to me. He's meaning plain sensible. Why are you afraid to go? Well, that'd prove I didn't have no faith. Well, what are you hurting for? Right. That proves you don't have it. Right. See? Okay, get off of... I need to preach on faith, I guess. But now listen. If it's true that there's just one faith, one Lord, one baptism, one God and Father of us all and in you all, yeah, all right, then... When we get to the stature of the perfect man, the prophet said, if you've read the book, you're supposed to be reading on it. He says, now that's the basis of what I want to talk about today is faith. faith. Now, you're going to find out in a minute that your faith is going to flop if you ain't careful. Because, see, I'm going to go ahead and put it this way. There's a lot of people teach the stature of a perfect man. And that's been a doctrine down through time that a lot of you sit and listen to, but must not have paid no attention to it. But it was taught to you that you're not born again till you get to the top of the pyramid. You have never heard that doctrine taught? Yep. That you're not born again till you get to the top of the pyramid. You say, well, yeah, but the prophet said we have the new birth. Well, we don't have, if you have it, show it to me. Show me signs, miracles, and wonders. Well, that's not a proof of anything. That's a proof of stupidity, yeah, but not a proof of anything to anchor with. Huh? Well, see, I'm telling you, the doctrine has been taught that you don't get the new birth until you come up here to the headstone. Now, when the prophet says you're born again at faith, see, that just passes it off, and they try to maybe make some doctrinal issues out of it and things, you know. All right? But that's the point I'm wanting to make now before we get into the stature of perfect man. I thought we were supposed to believe what the prophet said, not what we think. All right? And see, yeah, but Brother Dad, I believe Brother So-and-so said. I don't care what Brother So-and-so says. I don't have nothing to do with it. It's what God has to do with it. It's what he said. And like I told you, I was sitting talking to two brothers, and one of them went this way off the scale, and he says, you're not born again until you get the headstone pyramid and all up to the top and all like that. The other brother said, well, you ain't got nothing yet. These two ministers. I said, would y'all brothers mind if I just kind of stay somewhere in the middle? I said, because I certainly can't go with that we don't have nothing until we get here. And I can't go with the fact and deny what I do have. I said, you mind if I just kind of stay here in the middle? And then let me quote the prophet. He said, I met people that had the baptism with the Holy Ghost just exactly like the day of Pentecost. And both of them admitted rather openly that they couldn't explain that. That they wondered why he said that. I said, it's simple. I said, you just go back to the book of Acts. Now, you've heard me explain this, a lot of them, but some of you are new and haven't. On the day of Pentecost, you got a split condition. You got 120 in the upper room that had been tutored for 3.5 years. And then the Holy Ghost fell. Well, the prophet said it gave them these virtues. Now, watch him. These virtues, but he stopped here. He said, but the headstone ain't come yet. So now he's stipulating a point. All right. Well, see, that put them positionally at a good point. All right. But just a few hours later, or a little bit, here's 3,000 outside that hears one sermon and receives the baptism of the Holy Ghost, the new birth, eternal life. They get it at faith. Then everybody that's born again since that day is born again at faith, or the earnest of our inheritance. Right? We'll get to that more as we talk into more of the stature of a perfect man. But now, think of it. If substance is what anything consists of, then your new birth consists of the word that has been revealed to you. Okay, you follow that? I never ask anybody to agree with me. I don't ask my wife, family, kids, what to agree with me. I ask you to listen because I'll explain what I believe and why I believe it. And it's left up to you because I can't reveal it to you. Man, there's no way I can reveal it to you. I can only speak about it. And then God has to reveal it. Okay? Now, if it's true then that faith is the substance and faith is the birth of the word that you've heard. So you see what happened to the disciples. Look how they had been taught all of these things up through here, all through the ministry of Jesus Christ for 3.5 years, and the Holy Ghost fell. It made them sons and daughters of God. All right? But now the next time it happened, on which was an hour or so later, you had 3,000 at one time to receive the Holy Ghost. Are you going to say, well, this one got the Holy Ghost, but this didn't get the Holy Ghost? No. It's simple, like I tried to tell those brothers. You're born again in faith. The new birth is the earnest of our inheritance. The Bible says until earnest of our inheritance till the possession comes forth into full manifestation. All right? And see, then, will your birth stand true? Can you walk on your revelation? Amen. Now, we're not talking about you got to walk physically, you know. Well, get up, Brother Dale, walk down through here. Benny Hinn beat us all. Come on, a lot of you don't even know that. Benny Hinn walked right off the platform, right out in mid-air. But you see, it's not that a way to try to make something. It's whether or not what's within you controls you, makes you to what you need to be. All right? Now, what about this faith? I'm trying to get a point now to you, so listen. So faith is what I'm seeking after. You know, I can make a confession, but I need a substance. Then if I have a substance, I don't worry about somebody trying to take it away from me. So you think that here I am and I've done it for all these years. We're on internet going out. I've always said, if you see me wrong, come on, show me where I'm wrong. We've never had anybody yet to come. I thought when we put it on the internet and opened it up that my mail would be so full till they'd have to send a special UPS truck to send me my mail. You know. But yet I just try to preach it so straight till I know where they're at. At least I appreciate the brothers. They're not going to try to be, they're not going to show how dumb they are. You know. I don't mean that to be wrong. Because they're not going to come out and just say, well, I think you're wrong. Oh, yeah, they do it everywhere else, you know, around in, you know, different things. But I'm just saying, if you really have a substance, if you really have the new birth, you're not afraid of anybody and any doctrine. Huh? Come on. If you really have the new birth, you have that substance faith. Okay? Now, all right, now we're starting into the message. Now, I'm asking you this question. Do you believe that the disciples had the new birth? Born-again experience, baptism of the Holy Ghost, whatever you want to lay within there to talk about it. Do you believe that the disciples had the new birth? All right. Then, if you knew that, if you believe they had the new birth, do you believe you have it as they had it? There's the second question, see. We can talk about, and that's what people do. They say, well, you know, you don't have it like them. Well, I don't see why not. See? I wasn't the one that said the things. The prophet said it, so it's left up to God to produce it. All right? Do you really have the confidence in the fact that you're born again? That you're a child of God? That you have within you right now eternal life in your soul, not in your body, your spirit, but in your soul, the being that you are, do you have eternal life? If not, then we need to altar call. Right? We need to get that straight. So that's why I'm preaching so hard and so straight about it, to make sure. See, if you're not dead set sure on what you believe, then you can be wavered by any doctrine or idea.
That's right.
You'll fall after anything. Right? Because see, Satan, it's not that we're facing the Christian faces the worst doctrinal issues and things that could ever be thought of to consider the fact of a new birth. But do you believe that you have the new birth? Now, not talking about, now listen, that's why I explain things as I go along. I believe every born-again believer will prove by the prophet is born again at faith. Because he said, have faith and be born again. Okay, if you've listened to Statue of Perfect Man, you've heard it. But see, the disciples were right here, the 120 in the upper room. Because they'd been tutored for 3.5 years. Right? 3.5 years, they had been tutored by the Lord Jesus. Taught the word. And when they were born at that place. But the people outside, see later, that heard the word, they couldn't be born again up here because they don't have the word. They were born again here where it says faith. Amen. Well, I just don't believe because brother so-and-so, he really made it sound good. I really enjoyed it. I just don't understand what you're talking about. Well, you might want to pray and ask God to reveal it. Because the new birth is a revelation, you know. And you can't be born again without a revelation. Well, I just don't have a revelation of that. Well, then you're not born again. Okay? Problem solved? I'm saying it. Why don't you say it? If you don't have an anchor within your soul to where that there's something within you that cannot be taken away. Then you need to be in the altar. Well, I just really don't know whether I'm born again. Well, then, what are you doing about it? Right? You remember what I've always taught you? I would to God I could preach to where everybody in this building would wind up figuring out they wasn't saved. That way you could do something about it. You could go before God and cry out to Him to give you an answer to what you need.
Amen.
I'm not trying to tell you you're lost. I ain't never tried to tell nobody they're lost. And that Pentecostal guy down there at work that time told me that he wasn't fooling with the devil no more. Command. He said, I'm commanding the Lord. I didn't holler and scream and tell him how wrong he was. I just disappeared. Because I was talking to the big guy myself. You know what I mean? That man didn't have enough sense to say that. It was what was inside of him, known by the fact of being the devil talking. I said, sorry, buddy. I can't go that way. I said, when it says command ye me, it doesn't mean that you're commanded. It means you believe God and thank God for giving it to you, and you believe it, and He'll make it manifest. Right? But think about it now. What kind of a faith did those apostles have? What kind of a faith did they have? Every one of them gave their life for the gospel. I think John was the only one that died a natural death. Is that right? I believe that's correct. Everybody else was crucified one way or the other. Gave their life. Right? Will our faith be able to stand that test? you sure do preach negative, don't? If you understood what I was talking about, and you'd see how positive what I'm talking about is. I'm talking about the most positive point that could ever be made. If you're truly born again, you have eternal life dwelling within your soul. And there's no way you can ever lose it. It can't be taken away. It's given unto you. Now listen. All right, let's start now with our point of thinking, because this is laying the background to start on the stature of a perfect man. So go ahead and pull up number two. Let's start right there. Because I want you to think about these scriptures and what they're actually saying. Now, this is 2 Peter. This goes on down to get to the virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, and all that. But let's start off where it starts. This is 2 Peter 1 and 1. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. So now we're talking about like precious faith. Like is like anything, you know, it means it's the same thing, or, you know, like precious. So whatever faith they had, we need. Well, you think you have what they had? If we don't have what Peter's talking about, we're lost.
That's right. Amen.
You want to argue that? If we don't have what Peter's talking about, we're lost. That's as blunt as I can be. Well, I don't like your way of expressing that. Well, good. Maybe you'll do something about it. But look, Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God. All right. Peter is saying, I'm going to read this, we will in a second. Peter is saying, I have this faith. And I'm addressing this to the people who have this faith. The same faith I have. Now watch him. Listen to Brother Branham. Peter's not talking about that you got to be up here before you got anything. All right? Now let's just read. So go ahead to number three is the Greek. Go to number four. And let's start and just read some from the stature of perfect man. Paragraph 33. Talking about 2 Peter, the first chapter. Simon Peter, servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. I like the way that's stated right there. Because my whole subject this morning is based on faith. Let me read that again. Listen close. Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that obtained like precious faith through the righteousness of God, our Savior and Jesus Christ. Notice, roll this on up where you can make sure they can read it. Notice, he is saying that I have obtained this faith. Now that's, Brother Branham said it. You're supposed to have been reading it, so you read it now. He is saying that I have obtained this faith. I have the faith. Right? All right. And I'm addressing this to them that has obtained the like precious faith. He said, I've got the faith, and I'm addressing this to people that have the same faith I have. All right. It's not to the outside world. This is to the church, see, those that are in Christ. Now, Peter, you were chosen to open the doors to the Gentiles. You were chosen for many things. You wrote a lot in your own hand and thing to us. And you're saying that you have a certain kind of faith. And he said, now, I'm addressing this to people that's got that same kind of faith. Now, is that what he said? I'm addressing this to them that has obtained the like precious faith. Who's he writing to? To born-again Christians, right? Now, look what he said. It's not to the outside world. Now, here's been the hardest thing for me to try to get people to see. Maybe for me to see it. So, okay, bear with me until I get through where I can see it, and then you'll be all right. The Bible is not written to a sinner. The only thing the Bible can do to a sinner is condemn that person for sinning. Bring to them a knowledge that they need to be saved. It is not written to them because they can't understand it. Right? Now, I've got a lot going over here later, but I'll go ahead and drop it in here. The Bible says no man can call Jesus a Christ except by the Holy Ghost. And Brother Brandon said, except by the baptism of the Holy Ghost. You can't call Jesus the Christ. You can say it all day long by your mouth. But until you can say it from your heart by the new birth, you don't have it. So look at what Peter's talking. I have obtained this faith. I've got this faith. I have this revelation of Jesus Christ. And I'm addressing this to them that has obtained the same like precious faith. So now he's evidently talking to somebody that's got it. So now that blows the doctrine out that nobody's got it until you come down here and get in the end and what it is. Really what they're saying is nobody ain't got it till I tell them what it is. You don't listen to doctrines like that. You ought to listen sometime to what they're saying instead of the mouth words they're using. Come on, the brother probably was telling, you ain't going to have it till I tell you where you got it or not. Okay? Now listen, church. It's not to the outside world. The Bible is not written to the outside world. It can only bring a sinner to a natural knowledge that he needs to be saved. Yeah, but I know a man that can quote you every scripture in the Bible. And he's got a good memory, thank God. Wish I had it. But that ain't going to be no, that won't save him.
That's right.
Well, all I got to do is believe. What do you believe? If you're going to put it on the basis, all you got to do is believe. What do you believe? What are you to believe? Well, I never thought about it like that. But see, the Bible, the stature of perfect man is not written in 2 Peter to the world. But neither is Matthew 29, 28, what it is about the water baptism. The Bible is not written. Get that point. If I have to stay on it to finish the whole day, get the point. The Bible is not written to a person that is lost. You cannot understand it without the new birth. Without the Holy Ghost. Now, I've got them laying here. How many of them do you want? That no man can call Jesus the Christ. It's about 30-something times that Brother Branham says that, maybe more. You can't call Jesus the Christ without the new birth. Sure, you can say all day long the words. You can quote them. You can do everything. Right. You can call it all. You can do all that. But that ain't what he's talking about. The prophet says you can't call him called Jesus the Christ, except it be by the new birth. Because it's the new birth inside of you that's speaking out. It's him that's doing the talking. It ain't you. Right? And see, you say, yeah, but Brother Dale, I know I'm born again because I've done this, that, or the other. Heaven help us if that's where we're still left. Well, you can't tell me I ain't saved. I ain't trying to tell you you're saved. I'm trying my best to get you to think about it. See, because you cannot be saved. Quote, it's in here somewhere or any other. You cannot be saved without it being a revelation. That's what the prophet said now. So it's not shouting, crying, speaking in tongues, feelings, ideas, and things that we had happen. Well, I know I'm saved because I felt this, I done that. It's none of those things. You can't put it on that. You can only put it on whether or not the Spirit in you agrees with the Word. And that agrees means keeps on agreeing. That's what I told that Baptist preacher. I said, the Bible says, he that believeth and is baptized, believeth, keeps on believing. I said, why'd y'all teach it to us that all you had to do was to believe it? Well, we didn't. I said, wait a minute, come on, get off. I talked plain to him just like I do, not hard, but I said, you know yourself what I'm talking about. You taught it to us and telling us all we had to do was believe. I said, the Bible says the devil believed and trembled about it. He said, well, I guess we did teach it wrong. But listen, do you have the same born-again experience? Now, I remember what I've explained it over and over. The 120 in the upper room got the baptism of the Holy Spirit. The 3,000 outside got the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It's the same Holy Spirit. Amen. It may be degreed in the basis of how much knowledge or understanding or whatever goes with it, but it's the same new birth. Anybody that's born again has got the same new birth. All of you women that had babies, unless there was something went wrong and it had to be done some other thing, all of you women had a new, the baby's the same. Water, blood, and baby. Well, they just didn't go through what I did. See, that's what I'm saying. You do that and then you go into the gospel that way. You try to say, well, they didn't have the problem I had because I talked to them and they didn't hurt like I've hurt. What are you trying to prove? What has it got to do with it? Birth is a birth. The new birth is a birth. Everybody that's born again is born again the same. That's why I've taught that over for the 50 years I've been in the message. And it takes justification, sanctification, and the baptism of the Holy Ghost to have the new birth. Amen. And every new birth is a birth of the Word. Yes. Amen. Like precious. Like is equally precious. Especially honored to be, you know, of the same. So Peter said, I'm writing this to those that have obtained like precious faith. He said, now I've received this faith, and I'm writing it to those who have this faith. What? Now he's going to tell you about the stature of perfect man. Right? We're having to get this out of the way because now he's going to tell you about the stature of a perfect man. Add to your faith, virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience. That. But he said, I want you to know, you first got to be born again. You got to have the inside teacher before you can be taught anything. Outside of that, it's head knowledge. If you do not have the new birth, then see, you don't have that inside teacher. That's right. Then you can have a faith, a Lord, a baptism, but you can't have the faith, the Lord, and the baptism. The is singular. It has nothing to go with it. Like precious faith. Just exactly like what Peter had. Well, now, Peter was way up here. See, now you're trying to get... Peter and them got the new birth same way as anybody else. The new birth started them right down here, justification, sanctification. This was their baptism of the Holy Spirit. Because they were tutored for 3.5 years. But the 3,000 outside only heard one message, and they were justified, sanctified, and filled with the Holy Spirit, and wound up being babes in Christ. Amen. Desiring the sincere milk of the word that we may grow thereby. Right? What is the faith that was once delivered to the saints? I mean, even when I was looking at them this morning, the brother said, that's the one we're earnestly contending for. We're not contending for what was delivered to the Baptists, the Methodists, the Presbyterians, or whatever. We're earnestly contending for the faith that was delivered to the saints. And Peter called it like precious faith. And he said, I have this like precious faith, and I'm talking to people that have the like precious faith. This is not written to the world. It's not for the world. It's to get you born again. It can tell people they're lost. Don't misunderstand me when I make a bold statement. A sinner cannot comprehend the word of God. He can only get his intellectual concept of that. And I've told you over and over my experience. I came up through straight, strict doctrine. Come into this message. Wound up hearing a prophet telling what a new birth was. And when I did, I realized I didn't have it. Yet I was a deacon at 23 years of age, teaching the adult Sunday school classes and things when I walked out of the Baptist church. Well honored among the people of the Baptist faith. But when I heard Brother Branham telling about a new birth being the birth of the Word, I knew that if I had a birth of the Word, that was a Baptist word, I wasn't born again. For 2 years after coming into this message, I would not take the doctrine and ideas of people, even though they told me and said, well, you've done this, you've done that, you believe the message, you must be born again. I said, but it ain't to me. 2 years. Until God came down and sealed that for me. And during that time, Brother Colley's sitting right there, he can tell you, I have been known to read 6 books in 1 day and listen to 2 tapes in that same day. Not bragging, just telling the truth. I've done it. Because I believe it. If you're going to believe the word, you need to know what it says.
Right, right.
I had a decent knowledge of the Bible point. But when that prophet brought it alive, I seen God that I met when I was 11 years old. And I knew where he was at. But nobody couldn't get me to him. But I talked to people about it and they just, well, you need to go to some Pentecostal church or do something. They didn't understand me. You see, after I come in this message, I didn't say, well, I come into the message so it proves I'm saved. For 2 years, I sought God. I probably read more in one day than a lot of you have read in a year. How many of you ever read 6 books in one day? How long did it took me all day? Because I wanted to know what the prophet said. Because this man talked about a birth that I knew I didn't have. He talked of the birth of the Word, of a like precious faith. Are you listening? Like precious faith. Okay? Brother Branham was quoting Peter, and he said, Peter says, I have this faith. And I'm addressing this to people that have this faith. Are you one of them? Do you have the faith? There's one faith, one Lord, one baptism. Do you have the faith? Not trying to de-Christianize anybody or say anything about it. I'm trying to tell the truth. Do you have the new birth? If you do, then that new birth is the same new birth that Peter received. And now he's going to teach us how to come up the stature of a perfect man. Like precious faith. What is like precious faith? What is it? Go ahead with number 4A. You'll see I put a lot of numbers in on this one because I kept adding. From the message calls earnestly contending for the faith. Brother Brennan said, I just love that address. See, he's talking about Jude, the brother, and all of that. He's sanctified of God and preserved in Jesus Christ and called. I just love that address. I like the way he places that out there. Now look, this letter, not written to the unbelievers. Notice, he states specifically to them that are sanctified. Goes on down, takes you totally into the new birth. This is not talking to unbelievers. Unbelievers cannot understand what Peter's talking about. Whether they be in this message or outside the message, unbelievers cannot follow what the prophet is saying. That's where the trouble's at. You say, yeah, but nobody don't have that light, precious faith. Nobody just don't have it like they had it. Well, go ahead to number 5. What house will you build me? And now that Brother Green, you know who that is, Brother Perry Green? God has sent him in here and opened us up a church of like precious faith that we believe it. He said, Brother Perry Green, come in to pick up a church of like precious faith. Go ahead, number 6. So happy today to have received the baptism of the Holy Ghost and to be a fellow worshiper of like precious faith as you all stand for today. Number 7. All the ways of our life. My brothers and sisters who are like precious faith, who's been born of the Holy Ghost, that's had the blood of Jesus Christ to sanctify him and things, like precious faith. But it wasn't so from the beginning. So about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, I truly believe that with all my heart, I believe in the gifts of the Spirit, prophesying, speaking in tongues, etc., and all the great things that goes in the body of Christ. And believe by one Spirit, we're all baptized into that body and are members and fellow citizens of the kingdom of God and brethren and sisters of like precious faith. Seemed like he knowed a little bit about like precious faith. Well, we just don't see God moving like that. You know why? That statement alone is why. When you say we don't see God moving, that means you are doubting God moving. And when you're doubting God moving, God can't move in your life. Now you're blaming everybody else. Well, I remember when the church used to be so much on fire, who died? Are you part of the church? Well, what went wrong? Well, I remember when we used to have this, what went wrong? We just don't have no revival. What went wrong? I've preached to you on those things, right? The prophet said there'd be a revival come that would fill every fiber of our being and take us into rapture. Well, but I just don't see it. Well, what did that got to do with it? You think you're something? You think you can control it? But I just don't see that we have the faith the apostles had. What do we have? Well, we just don't see it. The reason we don't see it, because we don't believe it.
Right.
Now, you want a testimony meeting? Yeah, but we don't see the book of Acts alive anymore. You want a testimony meeting? How many have been healed by the Lord of different things? How many times have we seen storms spoke into existence because we needed rain, but spoke out of existence because we got too much rain? How many things do we need? What do we need to be proof? We've seen the dead raised. I'm going to take you right today to a man's house and he'll tell you in a hurry that man right there, him and his son, was standing there and said, if he hadn't have been there, I'd be dead. He said, because I died. He told the world, I mean the people around us while we're hunting together, he told them. Seen his eyes roll back and Wade said, Daddy, he's dead. I just called his name real loud and said, Randall! And he just, well, Sam, just raised right up. We've seen the sick healed. What do we need? Why don't we believe that we have like precious faith? Because I'm talking about like precious faith. That Peter is talking about like precious faith is this faith right here. Not away up here, it's right here. Like precious of faith is the faith that we can attain unto. If we have the new birth, we have that faith.
Right.
We have the faith the disciples had. Because we have the same faith that everybody had. If you're born again, you have the same eternal life.
Yeah, that's right?
Right? Well, I just don't see. That's what I'm saying. That's what it goes to. Well, I just don't see this. You don't see it because you never will see it. Well, if we just had the prophet back. I'll tell you this way. It's the best I can say it. For your sake and mine, we don't need the prophet back today.
That's right.
I said that the way I meant it, and you take it what you want to. I said, for our part, we don't need him back. Why? Because he'd condemn every one of us. Well, you don't want to see, that's what he's saying. You've already done, you done run that through your mind. You done figured out all I'm talking about. I'm talking about one thing. If he was here right now, he'd call out every one of our unbelief. Well, I don't have no unbelief. My God. What's wrong? Be like precious faith. We can have like precious faith. If you have the new birth, you have like precious faith. You don't have the stature of a perfect man in the manifestation. We'll pick that up this evening where it comes into the divine nature of God. But see, by the new birth, you have the same faith the apostles had.
Amen.
You have eternal life in your soul. Don't let the devil beat you down.
Right, right. Amen.
Stand up and say, that's it, I believe it.
Right.
Why can't you stand for it? I've stood over 50 years declaring this message to be right. And I believe it more today than I did when I started. And I'm glad he's let it go the way he's let it go. Because it's going to dry up everything that ain't worth nothing. But somebody's going to believe it and stand on it. Are we that people? We start with like precious faith. Then we grow in grace and knowledge. See, that's what you're going to have to accept to see, that the new birth gives you that faith. It don't give you virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience. Those are the things we are birthed into after we receive the new birth to come into the body. After we're born again, these are the things then God expects us to add. If you read the Statue of a Perfect Man, you heard that. But let me say it this way. I ain't asking for a raise of hand. But how many of you have read The Stature of a Perfect Man since I announced that you needed to read it? If I was you, I wouldn't raise no hand if I hadn't done it, because you'd be a liar. Do you see what I'm talking about? How many have studied that message? Either listened to a tape or... But yet you want to know. Yet you don't know whether it's right or not. Why don't you read the book and see? You know, I'm like this. I want to end it. Come on, musician. I'm this way. You realize that if God doesn't move on the scene, we're going to be deceived and taken into the wrong way and going to wind up like the rest. Well, I ain't deceived. Well, why can't we say we believe it? And say, thank you, Lord, for what you've revealed to us. You realize what God has revealed to you? Things that the prophets desired to look into? Is that the Bible? They desired to look into the things you and I see. They couldn't see it. They couldn't believe it correctly. Sure, it was fine for their time. But you see, the world's waiting on me and you. Adoption time, is that what the prophet said? The world's waiting on you and me, adoption time, when he can pour into us his fullness in the baptism and raise the dead and we'll go into rapture. I told you the other day about... that they had a lady over at school over there, and they called her Flunkin' Duncan because she always would kick everybody out. But anybody that ever stayed under her long enough to get anchored with her and her teachings, they wound up to be great math people. She knew what to do to teach it, but she couldn't get nobody to listen. So she had to go ahead and flunk them, you know, turn them down and kick them out and give them zeros. But what would have happened if they'd just listened? They wouldn't even have took a book home. That's what I've always said about this message. How many times do you read and study and pray your Bible or the message? How many times? But yet you say, this is my way. And I'm holding this up because in here is the notes. This is my way to get out of here. But I don't never read it. Well, now whose fault is it? Right? Father, we thank you. We just ask you to help us now to understand how that we need to walk into you. Let our hearts and lives, Lord, be resting in you. Guide us now in your grace in Jesus' name. Let's stand together. What have we got, brother?
God is so good.
God is so
spot, another place within that natural body that needs your healing touch. So we send these prayer cloths believing it, and we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Anybody else? Good to me. Oh, God is so good. God is so good. God is so good.
Look what he's done for us.
So good to me. He answers prayer. He answers prayer. He answers prayer. He's so
dismissed. Remember the service this afternoon.
God is
Father,
so
dismiss me with
good.
Everybody. The natural meal bring back together
God
in you.
God is so good. God.